And welcome back once more. In this fifth episode about destruction, which is covered on pages 92 to 102 of the book, we're going to learn about things that happened after the flood. For example, how did the flood affect the formation of mountains, valleys, and the Ice Age? And we'll also briefly look at mammoths and the glacial period. You covered it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. The topography of an area is simply a description of the surface features of the land, and this includes mountains and hills and creeks. Psalms 104 makes it quite clear that God drastically changed earth's topography. The floodwaters continued to rise, and soon there was a worldwide ocean because the waters covered even the highest mountains. But the mountains that existed before the flood could not have been very high, certainly not as high as they are today. I'll explain the reason for this to you in a moment. As the water rose, earthquakes and volcanic activity, as well as tectonic plate movements, increased. The breaking up of the supercontinent, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, as well as the relatively rapid movement of the Earth's tectonic plates, contributed to continental masses and mountains such as the Himalayas, Alps, and Andes being pushed up, and other areas sinking down under the pressure of the water mass that streamed off the continents into the new ocean basins, just as described in Psalms 104. Today, during an earthquake or when a volcano erupts, we can still feel these movements, although on a much smaller scale. Towards the end of the flood, new continental land masses with new mountain ranges of folded layers pushed up out of the water. Of course, we all know that a rock cannot bend, so the folded mountains must have been formed while the sediment layers were still relatively soft. Otherwise, they would have crumbled and completely disintegrated without forming such even folds. So when these soft layers were being pushed up, they were distorted and twisted and folded because of this enormous release of energy. Remember, folded mountains did not form through volcanic action. It wasn't soft lava or other igneous rocks that hardened over time. Folded mountains consist of sedimentary rocks, which means it was deposited by water. Some great examples of these folded mountains are in the Swartberg Mountains of South Africa. These photos were taken between the towns of Barrydale and Montague in the Western Cape Province, South Africa. The pushing up of the continental land masses caused other sedimentary layers to be lifted diagonally, sometimes up to 90 degrees, as you can see in the following photographs taken at the Loskop Dam in Mpumalanga, South Africa, and Kamanasi in the Western Cape. From all these enormous movements, our current non-volcanic mountain ranges came into existence. This includes the folded mountains that we just learned about. The other type of mountain is volcanic mountains. In other words, they came into existence because of the eruption of volcanoes. Both volcanic and non-volcanic mountains came into existence more or less during the same time period, although volcanic activity continued on a much smaller scale after the flood than during the flood. I mentioned before that the mountains could not have been as high before the flood as they are today. Why not? Well, today, Mount Everest is about 9 kilometers high, while the Mariana Trench near Guam is almost 11 kilometers deep. If it were possible to flatten the earth by evenly leveling the mountains and pushing up the basins so that the earth was a smooth ball, all of the continents would be covered by water as deep as 2.7 kilometers. There is more than enough water around to cover the entire earth. The topography simply needs to be more level. Incredibly, 70% of the Earth's surface is still covered by water today. Now keep in mind that the mountain building business could not have commenced before the flood because of the following reason. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward and the mountains were covered. If the highest mountains above sea level today, 9 kilometers for Mount Everest, were covered by water that rose 7 meters or 15 cubits higher than those mountains during the flood, the world would have forever have been covered by water because the continents would have been too deep under the water. The mountains had to have been lower than they are today, and there had to have been geological sinking and upheavals to make room for all that water and for us. The oceans today are much, much deeper than before the flood because they now needed to serve as reservoirs for the massive amounts of water from the flood. It is quite clear that this was an act of a powerful yet infinitely merciful God. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, "This far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop." This global water mass eventually flattened the pre-flood hills and mountains through erosion. After the flood water had covered the highest mountains, God spoke and the waters hastened away. God set a boundary and decreed that this water would never again cover the entire earth. This means that the water from the biblical flood can still be seen today because it is still being stored in the ocean. The enormous and fast-moving body of water would have caused extensive erosion when tons of soil were washed from the continents into the sea. Erosion happens when soil is washed away by water or blown away by wind or both, leaving behind holes and trenches, ravines and even canyons. In this way, extensive erosion contributed to the basic formation of our landscapes today. So canyons such as these were formed very rapidly, not slowly. We even have vivid examples of this today, which clearly shows that canyons definitely do not need millions of years to form. The eruption of Mount St. Helens volcano in the United States in the 1980s caused a mud flow which carved a 43-meter deep canyon in a single day. They later called it Little Grand Canyon because it is 1/40th the size of the Grand Canyon. Another example is Burlingame Canyon in the northwest of the USA. This canyon was formed in less than 6 days. When looking at those massive canyons in the world today, such as the Grand Canyon, which is the largest canyon in the world, or the Fish River Canyon, which is the largest canyon in Africa and the second largest in the world, we cannot help but wonder how they were formed. The question we need to ask is this: were they formed by a little bit of water and lots of time, or lots of water and a little bit of time? These huge canyons are best explained by taking Noah's flood into account. You are given the usual general explanation that the little river flowing right down at the bottom of the canyon was responsible for carving out and shaping those huge canyons, such as the Fish River Canyon and the Grand Canyon. That is a rather huge job for such a small river. Take a look at these two photographs. The one on the left shows the effect of erosion on a small scale. This donga or trench is not deep at all. If you were to stand in it, your head will probably stick out on top. Dongas are usually formed due to the effect of a lot of water eroding the soil, washing it away over a relatively short period of time. Now look at the photo on the right of the Fish River Canyon. Can you see how much it resembles the donga? Do you see the effect of a lot of water and a little bit of time? Because of the flood that covered the entire earth, there was once a much greater volume of water in our rivers. Today it is common to see only the remaining small streams flowing between the steep, high cliffs of these enormous canyons. The vast bodies of water that flowed off the continents after the flood caused an enormous amount of soil and sediments to be washed away. It was erosion 101. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Let's look at what happened in the year 1883. Krakatoa was a volcanic island which was located between Java and Sumatra. The volcano had been raging for a few months when a lateral crack suddenly appeared. Seawater ran down the crack right into the main artery, and this led to one of the most violent eruptions to have been recorded in the last 100 years, and eventually it led to the complete destruction of the island. Only a small ring of islands remain today. There are literally thousands of extinct volcanoes around the world, and this includes volcanoes under the sea. Their location in the geologic column indicate that they were still active towards the end of the flood and for a period thereafter while the flood waters receded. In general, air pollution doesn't remain in the atmosphere for very long. It eventually settles or it is washed down by rain within just a few weeks. However, when certain pollutants such as dust and ash are shot up into the stratosphere, they remain there for several years. Volcanoes are a natural cause of this. The presence of massive amounts of pollutants like dust and ash in the stratosphere can reduce sun radiation by as much as 20%. It took 3 years for the dust and ash from Krakatoa's volcano to settle, while causing a definite reduction in the world's temperature for almost 5 years. Afterwards, the dust settled enough for the temperatures to recover again. But can you imagine how terrible it must have been when thousands and thousands of volcanoes erupted at the same time? The huge amounts of dust and ash particles shooting into the stratosphere must have drastically influenced the climatic conditions. The combination of dust, ash and smoke in the stratosphere would have darkened the sky considerably, preventing the sun's rays from reaching the earth and warming it, which is why the landmass must have cooled very rapidly. Now remember us learning about the fountains of the deep breaking open, how that caused the oceanic regions to tear open, and how the hot lava pushed up through these to form a brand new hot sea floor? Well, this caused the oceans to be considerably warmer after the flood than before. Warm oceans cause an increase in evaporation, and because of this, a large amount of warm moisture and clouds formed in the air. When warm air moves over a cold landmass, the warm air cools rapidly. Why were the landmasses cold? Well, there are several reasons. First, as mentioned previously, the volcanic dust and ash blocked out the sun's rays, preventing it from warming the landmass. Secondly, the increase in moisture or moist air led to a higher percentage cloud cover. Thirdly, the land surface was stripped bare of vegetation because of the flood. Those waters had ripped up and washed most of the plants away. Plants absorb sunlight, but now the mostly bare surface after the flood would deflect most of it away. Because the land surface was so cold, any snow that fell there would not have melted quickly, but rather it would have remained there to form hard ice cap layers. And here then, we have the perfect recipe for the development of the Ice Age. The Ice Age must have commenced after the flood and continued until the oceans cooled considerably and the climate began to stabilize. Most creation scientists believe that the Ice Age lasted for about 700 years. It happened only once, and the ice never covered more than one third of the Earth's surface. Today, Antarctica and Greenland are completely covered with ice. But previously, the ice caps covered many other countries as well, such as South Africa, Italy, Australia, and even Ohio in the USA. Keep in mind that a number of successive cold winters will not cause an ice age. A lot of moisture is required, and therefore an enormous amount of warm water. At the same time, a cold land surface would be required, as explained. Now, these unique conditions occurred only once in the history of the world. But evolutionists believe that many ice ages have occurred over a fictional period of 2 million years, five of them being of major significance. Considering the unique conditions required for the commencement of just a single ice age, this claim is quite ridiculous. In fact, evolutionists still have no valid explanation or agreement amongst them on how even a single ice age could have begun. Amid all the volcanic eruptions and explosions, the polar areas froze and animals in the far north were trapped and overwhelmed by the freezing cold conditions and ice. One of these animals was the giant mammoth. A mammoth is a type of elephant, sometimes with long hair. Other animals that were also suddenly frozen include bears, wolves, jackals, saber-toothed tigers, lynx, horses, camels, goats, bison, sheep, rats. Did you notice that most of these are familiar animals, not prehistoric ones? The remains of hundreds of thousands of mammoths in northern Europe, Siberia, and Alaska have been discovered. In Siberia and Alaska alone, an estimated 1 million mammoth remains have been discovered. It appears as if the animals were exposed to severe stormy conditions and that some of them froze very quickly. Mammoth remains have even been discovered as far as Mexico, indicating that they were probably well adapted to a very wide variety of climatic conditions. Although six intact semi-frozen mammoth carcasses have been discovered, most of them show signs of decomposition before they were frozen and buried. For example, we find evidence of the presence of pupae of carcass-consuming flies and also signs of scavenging by other animals. Of the pristine frozen carcasses, some even had undigested food in their stomachs, and most of the plant species identified in their stomach content still grow in warm climatic conditions today. This provides further evidence of the change in climatic conditions that occurred especially in northern Siberia and Alaska. In other cases, mammoths have been discovered of which the meat was still edible. Dogs ate it, and even some people, millions of years old. What do you think? Layuba is one of the most complete mammoths ever discovered and researched by scientists. Rock paintings of mammoths were made by people who obviously lived with them after the flood. How else would you draw something in such detail if you've never seen it before? Since the remains of these mammoths were discovered on top of the flood sediments, they must have frozen sometime after the flood. Gale force winds would also explain why so many of them were found huddled together in groups. Radiocarbon dating has indicated the extinction of the mammoths at less than 4,000 years ago, which is, of course, the correct age according to the flood events. In other words, mammoths mainly suffered major extinctions after the flood. But we have to ask, did all of them really become extinct? The indigenous Evenk tribe of northeastern Siberia has well-preserved mammoth skins in their possession. They have described in detail what the animals looked like, how they behaved, what they ate, as well as how they hunted these animals themselves. During a Russian expedition in 1922, written records of living mammoths were discovered within this tribe. The discovery of Colonel John Blashford Snell remains the most exciting, though. For many years, rumors had been circulating that unusual elephants with features similar to extinct elephants such as the mammoths may be present in western Nepal. The Colonel's discovery of two of these elephants confirmed the rumors and sent quite a buzz through the scientific community. The two bulls, named Raja Faji and Kanji, weigh about 7 tons each. Now, these kinds of discoveries have, until recently, simply been ignored by evolutionists, but these days they are a little bit more cautious about making claims regarding the extinction of mammoths. Many years after the flood, the oceans cooled down again, causing less evaporation, fewer clouds, and less snowfall. The volcanoes were no longer as active as during the flood, and eventually all the dust and ash had settled sufficiently for the warm rays of the sun to reheat those parts of the world. At last, the Ice Age was over. It lasted for approximately 700 years, but it took 500 of the 700 years for the ice caps to build up and 200 of the 700 years to melt down again. Job, who is, of course, a descendant of Noah, may possibly have experienced the effects of the Ice Age. God asked him, "From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. From the chamber of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds of the north. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen." Now, the freezing of the poles caused two things. Large amounts of water were suddenly locked in at the polar regions, and later, when the Ice Age ended, sheets of ice from the North Pole started sliding southwards off the continents. Scientists refer to it as the glacial period. When these ice sheets or glaciers slowly slide down steep slopes, they grind and crush the rock material beneath them, and they carve out these U-shaped valleys while dragging the crushed rock material along over long distances. Later, after the glacier has melted, you can clearly see the grooves in the hard rock. This is also how we know that there were previously much larger ice sheets present than today. During the Ice Age, the sea level was much lower than it is today because so much water had been locked into the ice cover. Consequently, for a long time, land bridges would have been available whereby animals could have moved to other continents. As certainly as there was a period of fast cooling after the flood, there was also a period of warming up after the volcanoes, sea temperatures, and dust had settled. This led to the decline in the size of the glaciers that became smaller, which caused the sea levels to rise and the land bridges to eventually disappear. Smaller animals could have also crossed the sea on rafts consisting of pumice or floating vegetation. This is something that has been observed quite often in recent times. In the last episode about destruction, we'll have a look at the survival of humans and animals after the flood. I will see you there.